This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
And for the past 5 years, the Kimberley forecast has been cloudy with a chance of cane toad sausages. Thousands of grey, uncooked snags have rained down from helicopters or been ground deployed over the rugged sandstone ranges and rocky creek beds ahead of Australia's relentless cane toad invasion. The wartwurst sausage, made from toad's legs and laced with nausea-inducing chemicals, are supposed to teach the native wildlife not to eat the amphibian before the main invasion wave reaches them. I'm Anuska Tonin, more news at 8.
Okay, so we're obviously, this is the story that we're focusing on. Where did you even find this?
ABC, on the ABC News site, the source of all things fabulous.
Cane toad leg sausages laced with a different type of poison.
Yeah.
So to make, like, what sort of native animals poison are we talking about?
And in particular, there's a quoll of some kind that is quite endangered. A quoll?
I was about to say.
It's a quoll, I think.
It's a quoll?
Yeah, it's like a small, furry, cute animal.
But they've got vicious teeth. They're kind of a bit like the Tassie devils. They're very big and cute. They like to eat chickens.
And cane toads.
Are you serious? And chickens and cane toads.
Yeah. And there's also a particular type of lizard as well that will go a cane toad if it gets a chance.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I feel like we need to write this down because this should be a question we throw into our interview with Jesus Victoria.
Yeah.
Because we thought, freakily enough, just talking about spiders tonight was going to be what was going to creep me out. But now I have a whole new level of terror.
I'm curious, are cane toads Australian native?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. No, they were brought in, weren't they? That's
They were brought in to eat
something else.
Something else.
That so was, like rabbits.
Rabbits weren't brought in to eat anything else.
Weren't
no,
they?
They were brought in accidentally as pets and then just sort of got out. But the cane toads were brought in to eat another pest and then they became worse than the pest.
Maybe it was snakes. Cane toads were brought in to try and do something about. We are not the two most
Maybe
technical individuals.
Maybe we need to introduce more snakes to eat the cane toads. What eats cane toads, though? Does anything?
I don't feel like
or does
French people,
die?
I'm assuming, are the only thing that eat cane toads. Well, like, this plan of just introducing another animal in the hopes that it's going to get rid of another animal doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah, we need some way to get rid of the cane toads without sausages.
Well, I mean, I love the idea that they've gone to the effort of making, like, when you said it, I was like, wait, what? And I'm like, the effort of actually making a sausage, I think, is beyond impressive, which is why I think it's tied to the snakes, because it looks like a snake.
I'm
not a science person. There's no logic behind what I'm thinking. I just think it.
Sausages and snakes.
Yeah.
Sausages, snakes and cane toads, oh my.
They don't have legs, I guess.
I can't. All right. So do you know, does anyone know why cane toads were introduced to Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know.
Is there any way that we can get rid of them?
0427 569 949.
Or email onair@joy.org.au.
And remember.
While you're at it, we're playing trick or treat this morning.
We are.
Just Anushka just did a trick.
She left the
studio with her headphones attached, aka was not able to leave the studio because her headphones were attached.
We have all dressed up so much that we have to find creative ways to actually wear or listen to ourselves through the headphones today on the show, and we keep forgetting they're on our heads.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have our trick or treat challenge.
Yes, all you need to do is instead of texting trick or treat, you need to text in purple or orange or orange or purple. One of them is a trick, one of them is a treat.
There is an orange and purple bucket and I'm going to be eating, well, possibly what's in both of them, because if I eat the bad one first, I'm going to want the good one. So I'm going to be eating whatever's in these buckets. Let us know. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean, and coming up, we're going to be getting our creepy crawlies on with Zeus Victoria.
Ooh, lucky not in person.
Yeah, I know, too wrong. No, I don't want... Moths were bad enough yesterday. I don't want spiders as well.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Not here for it.
You're on Joy Brekkie.
Joy.
You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean, and we have an answer to the cane toad situation.
Yes, we just got a text message in from Brett saying cane toads were introduced into Australia to eat a pest insect in the cane fields, but it turns out the cane toad doesn't eat that particular insect. And it has no natural predators in Australia. The cane toad has now become the pest. And the outbreak of cane toad changed the way the Australian government dealt with biological control. The natural predator of the cane toad in South America would be too destructive to the Australian ecosystem, so it cannot be introduced here to deal with it.
Okay, that's okay, okay. Wouldn't they have tested it first, is my question. What do you think if you're going to introduce an animal into a foreign area to see whether or not they eat something else? You test whether or not they find it snackish. Just wondering.
I don't know. They're scientists. They're not geniuses.
It's true. Well, we're going to now pivot from one creepy crawly to another, aren't we, Rach?
Yes, we are now tuning in to Melbourne Zoo's invertebrate keeper. Melvin is joining us, where he looks after bugs like giant burrowing cockroaches, butterflies, and the critically...
Well, butterflies are okay.
No, not me. And critically endangered Lord Howe Island stick insects.
Now, while Melvin's favourite bug is a ladybug, we are going to be talking about a different one altogether, because we are talking about spiders this morning on the show. We are getting our eight legs on. And I can't think of anything worse than one creeping and crawling around me. Melvin, welcome to Joy Breakfast.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, look, we're doing okay. We have some myth-busting we need to do. Spiders have eight legs, and we have eight spider myths we want to bug off with. I'm already... The fact that we're going to be just talking about spiders so much, yes, it's Halloween, but it does freak me out. Here's my question. Are spiders insects?
No, spiders are not insects. Spiders are arachnids, so they got eight legs, and insects have six legs, but they both are invertebrates, which means they don't have a spine or a backbone.
Okay, so it's just the number of legs that makes the difference. It's scary, and they're hairy and scary, and it's not okay. Nah.
Is it? Sorry, I'm going off topic. Awful. Here. Is it only spiders that have eight legs, other like in the non-sea world?
So arachnids consist of spiders, scorpions, and ticks as well. So
all things I don't want to be locked in a room with.
That's really fascinating.
Especially the big ones.
Okay, so spiders build their houses inside our houses, and if we don't kill them, they're going to attack us, correct?
Mm-hmm. That is definitely... So the thing with spiders is that just like most animals, like snakes, for example, if they're disturbed or provoked, they generally react to defend themselves. So most of them either run away, and if they kind of are cornered, they rear up and might lunge. And the last resort is that they can bite. But I guess if you look at it from a different perspective, they're pretty brave standing up to a giant human. But I would suggest if you are anywhere near a spider or doing some gardening out in your backyard, be safe, I guess. Wear gloves, and if you see one, just try to leave it alone.
Okay, so this is because I thought, like, especially after watching Arachnophobia, that spiders kind of attack, but you're saying they pounce a little bit and they only bite as a last resort. TV lied to me?
That's about right.
Now, Melvin, I used to live in not rural, but rural-ish New South Wales, and we used to get huntsmen all the time, and they would do this little dance, and then I always thought after the dance, that's when they were going to jump at my face. Was I right in screaming and running away at that point?
That's a really good way to describe it. I guess the dance is a little display of threat or a warning sign. They do tend to do that and have both their legs up, and it looks like they're waving their hands up in the air, but they're like, don't come any closer. But I guess in rural areas where there's still quite a bit of trees and wild areas around, they're more prevalent as opposed to the more urban areas where a little bit more development's occurred, so there's not as many areas for them to hide. That's where they come into our houses, where it's nice and warm.
Okay, so when we're saying dance, I just need to describe it, because you were saying dance and I was thinking just for a spider swaying from side to side, but now we're thinking two arms are up as well, so it's almost like it's
essentially
warning,
like,
and they're weaving and going.
They wiggle their hips like they're hula dancers.
Do you reckon when they're doing that, because they lift two of their eight legs, they're trying to keep balance, or there's enough legs to keep it going on?
There's definitely enough legs, I reckon.
Okay, so they've absolutely got the stability happening. Melvin, bear with us. Stick with us. We are going to keep talking these creepy, crawly facts right after this. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean.
Joy.
You are on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean, and we are talking all things creepy and crawly with Melvin from Zoos Victoria, because we're talking about spiders.
Yes, we're up to some of our 8 spider myths, one for each leg. And the next spider myth is that all Aussie spiders are deadly.
Is that true or false, Melvin? Melvin.
This is false. We only have 2 spiders that can cause fatal bites. One, the redback spider, and the other one is the Sydney funnelweb spider.
But
are there a lot of those? Because Americans seem to feel like any spider that they find in Australia is going to kill them.
I also feel a bit that way as well.
Often. I don't want to risk it. Everyone says look for a certain thing on a back, but I'm like, just keep away from all spiders and then you're fine.
Yeah, generally speaking, like, you know, if you leave them be, that you'll be fine. But it's not the case at all. Most spider bites will hurt. You know, it'll cause a local reaction, some pain, and some spider bites can cause nausea as well. But the redback spider and Sydney funnelweb, if leave untreated, it can be serious. But the last known death from a redback spider was in 2016, and before that was 1950s.
Oh, wow.
And the Sydney funnelweb was, I think, in the 1980s. But since then, they've developed anti-venom and it's all good. So
that's
proper first aid and treatment.
Okay, so this is why my nieces and nephews won't believe me, which is why I need you to say this on air so I can play the audio for them with this one. Because I know you've just said that, you know, these aren't venomous spiders, but they are terrified that they're going to get bitten by a daddy long leg. And they are so worried about that. And they're... Is that something they should be scared about, getting bitten by daddy long legs?
No, not at all. Daddy long legs are virtually harmless to humans. And, yeah, look, if they do bite, it'll cause a small local reaction. But they usually need a combo of biting and then wrapping up its prey in silk to help subdue it. So if you're small enough to fit that category, then I'd be scared. But apart from that, don't have anything to worry about.
I always thought that daddy long legs would kill the huntsmans.
Yeah, no, actually, I have heard that.
Just from biting them.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because daddy longlegs do actually hunt other spiders, like white-tailed spiders as well. They're kind of spider hunters. They eat other spiders.
Oh, but there you go. But they're not hunting humans. That's good to know. Speaking of white-tailed spiders, I thought they were a deadly one as well. If you got bitten by a white tail on your hand, is your hand going to need to be amputated or potentially fall off?
Not at all. That's probably one of the biggest myths we have here in Australia, and it's definitely not true. There's no medical or scientific evidence that suggests this. And like I think Melbourne Uni are doing a study at the moment into it, and what they found is that usually it's the result of the patient that has underlying vascular disease or it's their immune response to their actual bite. For instance, if you're a diabetic and you get bitten, you can develop some blistering or an ulcer, and you might be possibly more prone to infection. But, you know, like any spider bite, if you do get bitten, it'll cause some pain in the area. And with the white tail in particular, you can get headaches and nausea if you get bitten.
Look, Melvin, as Melbourne Zoo's invertebrate keeper, I feel like you're blaming the victim with that one and saying that it's our fault and not the spiders, which is absolutely not okay. Now, let's stop speaking about the biting and the dancing and the preying or pouncing that spiders do. One of the things I think is really lovely, especially in the sunlight, is spider webs. Do all spiders make webs?
Not all spiders make webs, but all spiders can produce silk. So what they use their silk sometimes is they have like little bungee lines, I guess, to help them secure themselves if they fall. And also some of the female spiders make egg sacs with their silk. But, for example, our Australian huntsman and the white-tailed spider don't build webs at all, and they usually ambush their prey. That's why you probably find them in your house, in the corner, just chilling out, enjoying the view and watching TV with you guys.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's worse, honestly.
Well, what's worse is the next question that we're going to ask, which, I'm going to be honest, freaks me out a lot.
Yeah. We've all heard this one, that when you sleep, you swallow approximately 8 spiders a year. Is that true?
No, nah, this one's definitely false.
Because it's 28 spiders that you swallow, not 8?
Not at all. Look, if a spider was crawling on your face, you'd definitely know about it and you'd feel it. And in the morning when you wake up, you probably have some webbing around your face.
Oh, no.
So it definitely is not the case. But, you know, between us snoring, the heavy breathing and moving around, spiders prefer not to come close to it because they're kind of sensitive to vibrations and stuff, so they want to stay away.
So the more action in the bedroom, the better it is, and spiders will keep away. Is that what you're saying?
The louder that's you great. Snore, the less likely you are to eat spiders. I love that. That is a really great tip for everyone looking for a partner.
Yeah. I'm encouraging snoring.
Yeah, no, yes, go for the snorer. Go for the snorer. And lucky last.
And this one, okay, this statement here, it still freaks me out the more we go down the list. Spiders only suck the juices from their prey. Is that true
Does
or false?
Spiders even suck juices?
I know,
juices?
It's the sucking and juices. I assume they injected vampires? Venom when they bit, but do they actually suck it out?
This is actually true. So the way it works is that when the spider injects its venom, it does paralyze the prey. And then what happens is actually they expel digestive enzymes from the stomach into the body of the prey, and this, after a few minutes, dissolves the insides, and it does become like a liquid, and then the spider sucks all the juices from their prey, and then at the end, all that's left is an empty husk.
What?
So I guess that's the whole vampire thing.
Terrifying.
It came about. Yeah, no, it's not okay. I guess the whole vampire thing has come from spiders that way,
pretty
I reckon.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, not bats. Bats are the innocent victims.
Look, I'm throwing in a ninth question here. Does that mean that when people get bitten by the two deadly spiders, are those spiders putting that enzyme in us and we're actually just dissolving on the inside so that they can eat us?
No, not at all. So,
Rach, you're freaking me out even more now. Jeez. Okay, that's a very detailed, terrifying question.
No, that's not true at all. Like they inject venom, which is different. So that's actually the toxins that they inject when they bite you. It needs to take a lot of digestive enzymes to digest a human. It needs to be a huge, gigantic spider. So that's not the case at all. So when they do bite you, it's just the venom they inject. That's
well, Melvin, it. I reckon it would make a fantastic movie nonetheless.
I'm sure there's a few out there.
Well, we have one more question to ask you. It's not spider related. We are playing a little bit of a game this morning on the show, a trick or treat game. Rach has two buckets, one that's orange and one that's purple, and both have two different types of cake in them. And Rach is asking people to vote on which colour they would prefer, and I have to eat whatever's in that bucket at the end of the show. I'm not looking forward to, I don't know what there is. I normally like cake, but you never know what's going
to
happen.
So Melvin, very simply, all we need to know, purple or orange?
Purple, please.
Okay, everyone has been voting purple. No one has messaged in with orange yet. And purple is my favourite colour, but Rach can be tricky. If you all would like to vote as well, message in on 0427 569 949.
Or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Melvin from Melbourne Zoo, thank you so much for joining us this morning and maybe just terrifying us slightly less. Yeah.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.